Okay, we were discussing part of this subject of exalting Jesus into his rightful place within our own lives and the kingdom of God, and we're looking at God's new creation, which is you and me, aren't we?
Yeah.
Have a look at the new creation at the side of you. Isn't it wonderful? It's a miracle, an absolute miracle, and you can rejoice in that. That God has done these great things. Now we're looking at the definition of the church for a start tonight. The church, the house of God, is simply Christ himself in undivided oneness, found in all of those in whom he really dwells. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? It's Christ himself. That's the church. The church is not this building. The church really is not you and me. So often we've been told that you are the church, and we've said it. But it is Christ who is the church. Without Christ, there's no church. We are part of the lively stones, and we are in Christ. And when we come together in Christ, then we're the church. Because outside of Christ, we've got separate ideas, got separate thoughts and thinkings, and it just becomes a mess. And that's when we find church splits and everything else going on. So we need to realise more and more that if we're to come together on anything, the first place that we meet is we meet with Christ. And when we come together and meet with Christ, guess what? We have the mind of Christ. We come together in one mind, one purpose, one goal, one vision to fulfill the work of Jesus Christ on the earth. That's what it's about. But so often there are many other agendas that try to sneak in. The devil brings other agendas along. Brings other ideas, and people then fall out. We've seen it. We've experienced it. But we're still here. And some of the things that we've experienced in leadership in the past has been when we've said, well, we need to give an offering. What shall we give? And I particularly remember that one many years ago when it was to do with the Bible college out in the Philippines that they were wanting to raise some finance for. We went away for 7 days, and we all came back 7 days later. And every one of us, in different ways, different ideas, came to the same amount of money. Nobody talked about it between each other. Well, at least I don't think so. Nobody spoke to me about it. We just suddenly arrived, and Ken, being the accountant, has a formula, and he works it all out. Grace just comes up with an idea and said, comes out with something. I don't know how Philip works. He's an engineer, so he probably, don't know, maybe he got his slide rule out, and you know. Pi R squared, whatever. And we all come from different backgrounds, we all come from different aspects in life. But there's one thing that's common to us, or that certainly should be common to us, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
The Christ in you is the same Christ that is in me.
Yeah.
And so that same Christ, that's having the mind of Christ, we then come with one thought, one purpose, one desire, one goal, to press forward into the things of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the kingdom of God being established not only just in our lives, but in the lives of men and women that we meet and the children that we come into contact with. And so it's a oneness that we need to have, and it's the oneness about the new creation. The new creation is not fragments. The new creation is one. Jesus said, as I and the Father are one. There's no separation, there's no dividing line between them, there's no fragmentation between them, they are one. One in purpose, one in desire, one in vision. So that's good to think on. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Now I rejoice in the sufferings for your sake and in my flesh. I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been made manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is a mystery. It is not something that is easy to work out and to understand. It is a divine, godly mystery that is out there for you and me to begin to find and to seek out. And that it goes through the ages. It's not set. Ages means it's not set to time. It's not about years. It travels through time. Talking about that earlier, weren't we? Philip's been back through time and family to Viking days, according to them in York. But we know the truth about that. But God has developed in us an ability to begin to understand the mystery. He wants to reveal the mystery of Christ in you. And it's about Christ in you. It's not about just reading the word of God. It's not just supposedly putting our hand up and coming to the Lord Jesus saying that I've made a decision, but it's about Christ actually beginning to rule and to reign in us. Now, a lot of Christians by name are not letting Jesus rule and reign, and we need to let Christ rule and reign in our lives. He needs to be dwelling in us. If you look at Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now then, let's just stop there for a moment. If you receive Jesus as Lord, you've got to learn to walk in him. Mm. You don't walk in your own strength. You don't walk in your own wisdom. You don't walk in your own knowledge. You walk in Christ. And the only way we can improve our walk and to be in step with the walk of Christ is to get to know him. Mm-hmm. And as we get to know him, then we're actually in step with him.
Yeah.
And so to get to know him, we have to spend time in his word and let his word begin to dwell in us and to form us and to shape us and to mould us. His word is just simply like is the hand of God. When it shows the prophet, one of the minor prophets, where he's watching the potter working on the pots. I don't think it's Jeremiah. And he's watching the potter working on the pots and sees him crush it and start again and take out the impurities. Because the moment that you put the pot into a furnace, and if there are impurities in the clay, when the temperature rises, you have two different materials together, and these two pieces of material expand at different rates.
Yeah.
And as they expand at different rates, one causes the other to crack.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be this perfecting process going on in you and I, because as the presence and the power of God comes into us, we have to expand under that anointing, in that purity of that anointing. And so we can walk in the power of that anointing. If you want we're flesh and he's spirit, and they have to come together and be perfected together. The other way, the other thing that you can look at is we use what we call reinforced concrete, don't we? And they use certain types of steel rod in the concrete. And the reason they can use that in that type of steel rod in the concrete is because both these pieces of different materials have the same coefficient of expansion. They expand at the same... That would be a big word, that, wouldn't it? Yeah, did you like that? I learned...
Yeah, that's right.
I learned that many years ago when I was at university. Long, long time ago. Yes, the coefficient of expansion. You see, it's amazing how your memory still works, even at my age. And
whatever that may be.
Thank you. Thank you for that kind remark. But yes, so... As God takes us on and we expand at the same rate as the kingdom of God, flowing in that anointing, and together in the church we flow together, we expand together, and we grow together to bring the anointing of God. And there are those who cannot flow in that same anointing. There are those who just don't want to, or there are those who, well, sometimes there can be people who are plants by the devil to cause mayhem in the church. Well, put them out, move them on, let them go somewhere else. Because and people need to learn to plant themselves and settle themselves and press through the process of moving forward in the things of God. And so we have to receive Christ Jesus the Lord so we can walk in Him. Verse 7 says, having been firmly rooted, this is where we've got to be, firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. You see, when you first get saved, you're not established in faith. When you first get saved, you're not rooted in God. You've just suddenly become born again. You're a baby. You need to be rooted in God. You need to be planted in a good church fellowship. You need to be planted in a place where the Word of God is being inputted into your life. Amen. You don't want to be a plant pot Christian, but you're being pulled out, stuck in different types of soil all the time. If you were to do that with plants in your house, keep taking them out of one soil and putting them into another soil and leaving them there for a month and then taking them from that one into another soil, within a short period of time, what would have happened? They'd be dead. Withered up.
Yeah.
Shriveled up and died. It's about... Sometimes you have to struggle through certain situations. Sometimes you have to press through. The only way a seed actually becomes a plant is when you put it into soil and it then has to then force its way through.
Yeah.
It has to force its way up, and it has to force its way down, and it has to force its way out. The roots have to go out, and it has to force itself up.
Yeah.
And some folk go around and say, well, I've got to find the right church so I can be planted right way up. Have you ever tried to plant a seed the right way up? I don't care which way you put one of the seeds, it will always come up, won't it?
Yeah.
You know, you never get the roots coming up and the other bit going down, do you?
No.
Try it. You know, get some bean seeds and look at them and say, okay, I'm going to put this one this way, I'm going to put this one this way, and see what happens. Theory says, you know, if I put that one that way, the roots will come up first. They don't. They always go down. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. It is a miracle. Yeah. But you see, that seed stays in that soil and perseveres through. Takes the heat. Takes the moisture. And then suddenly it breaks out and then you've got this plant coming up. Wow. And Christians need to take the heat, take some moisture and stay there until the roots go down and life begins to show.
Amen.
In their lives. And if we were to have that, you know, we wouldn't be having the problems we have with Muslims.
No.
Because our churches would be full, our nation would be godly.
Yeah.
But we pander to people's whims and ways. Well, church, grow up. Get hold of God. Get hold of Jesus. Get into Christ. And die to self. And let Christ come in his power and in his anointing. So it's to establish you in your faith. Just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Verse 8. So that it is no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception. According to the traditions of men. According to the elementary principles of the world. Rather than according to Christ. So many people are listening to false doctrines. So many people are listening to ideas and ideologies that, oh, I like that. Just fits in with my lifestyle. I don't have to change anything. Well, that's not what God intends. Because God intends to change you. The word says that he's changing us from glory to glory. So there's a process going on in you and I. And some of it is not pleasant to us. But what we want is, and further on in Scripture, Paul talks about people, gathering people together with itching ears. Yeah. Oh, I like that doctrine, I'll go along. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter, but I like it because it suits what I want to do. Mm. It suits my lifestyle. So I'll go along there, and I'll be one of them, because it's good for my lifestyle. Because I don't have to change anything. Well, that's not why you came to Jesus. No. That's not why Jesus came and died on a cross for us. He came that you would have to change. Yeah. And that he would change you and continue to change you from glory to glory to glory. Until you become perfect. In all things. Verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And the position that we have to bring Christ to into our own lives, and the position we have to bring him to within the church, he is the head. He's the deity. And he dwells amongst us in bodily form. He's been made complete in us, and we are being made complete in him, and he rules over us. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is not a democracy.
Amen.
Never has been and never will be. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he rules and reigns. Says he rules with a strong rod, and he's a powerful ruler, and we need to realize that. See, Christ is not divided into thousands and millions of pieces. Just because, right through the world, Christ's not divided. He's not split into fragments of, oh, there's a little bit of Jesus in Luke, and there's a little bit in Leon, and there's a little bit in John. No. It's not like that. It's that we come together, and we come in the Christ. And Christ is fully formed. And Christ is the, and we become fully formed ourselves as we come together in Christ. Because it is us as individuals that are fragmented. Christ is not fragmented. Jesus said, he and the Father are one. And that's a place that we've got to come to. We've got to come to the mind of Christ. How many of us at times don't have the mind of Christ? Happens, doesn't it? It's not a condemnation, it's just a fact. And it just shows you that we're still on a process of coming to the mind of Christ, that we're still not yet one. And if we take on board the thoughts that are not of the mind of Christ, guess what? I'll guarantee we can get into some arguments.
Yeah.
You want to bet? Eh? Mm. Get into some argumentative discussions. That's not the mind of Christ. It's not God's mind. And so we need to move forward and develop focusing ourselves so that Christ comes in us and that we are formed in the likeness of Christ. And that there is this process that will be going on in us day by day, week by week, month by month. The measure of Christ in a church is what constitutes the church. It's the fact of the, how much of Christ is in a church. And I believe that when you see a real presence of Christ in the church, a real coming together of spirit, soul and body, the minds of the people of God coming together into Christ, that's when you begin to see signs, wonders and miracles. That's when God begins to work. You see, the devil would seek to bring division, because the moment he brings division, he brings weakness. He brings a distraction, and bringing weakness means that the church can't move in the actual power that it is supposed to flow in. It's impossible for it to move in power when it's got a division in it. It can't move in that strength of Christ. It can't move in the authority and the anointing of Christ. And that's why Paul encourages the church to have one mind, one heart, one purpose, and focusing. That's why it's in Psalm 133, he talks about when the brethren dwell together in unity, there God commands the blessing, life forevermore. And when the people of God dwell together, there is a powerful anointing that begins to flow. There will be signs, there will be wonders, there will be miracles. Things will begin to happen, and his lamb will not rise up and rule.
Amen.
And politicians will not just do what they think they want to do. They will have to succumb to the power of God over this nation.
Amen.
And we need to realise that. And that we, as individuals, as we come together in Christ, and as the church, or as the people who have accepted Christ as Lord together, which call themselves the church, if they come to Christ, who is the church, we would see our nation turning to God.
Yeah.
We would see things changing within our very nation.
Yeah.
People keep saying to me, oh, the Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist has been in the world for a long time. And there are many Antichrists. It starts in your own mind. High places. But glory to God, as we submit to Christ and be of one mind, we're not Antichrist, but we are Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body. And one spirit. And just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Baptism into Christ. One faith. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not faith in many gods. Because that's what happens. You know, they've got that many gods. Hindus and Muslims, and they go on and on and on, and it's like, well, if this one doesn't work, we'll go and pray to this one, and they've got to do offerings and they leave offerings to these many different gods. Complicated. Did I leave the right offering with the right God for the right thing? I thank God I've got one God, one Lord, and one Master. And that's plenty to handle. And his name's Jesus.
Amen.
He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
And we can praise him and worship him. And so, the one Christ by the one Spirit in whom those, in all those in whom he dwells. So it's one God, one Lord, one Christ, one Spirit. And he dwells in us and we dwell in him.
Yeah.
That's where we need to be. God will only ever see his son in the church.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's not about you. And a lot of people come to church, oh, I've got needs. Yeah? Well, see Jesus.
Yeah.
See Jesus. He's the one who will meet all our needs. Yeah, I know he does give us some practical things to do. That I understand. But I'm referring to spiritual things, and it's time to seek God. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to let him move in our lives. You see, it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we wrestle at times, and we get attacked, and we get problems, and we can lose our sight of Jesus. We can lose our sight of his purpose and his plans for us, because things swamp in against us, and pressures come against us. And if we're not careful, we succumb to these pressures. But the word tells us that somehow you're to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you know, if Christ is not in us, we can't belong to the church. And there are a lot of people who are going to church, and Christ is not in them. They're going to get the cards marked. Going to sort of, oh, I'll be all right. I've always gone to church, so I'll always be. I know where I'm going. Is that true? It's not about attending a church. It's about having Christ in us and we being in Christ. Amen. That we learn to hear the Master's voice. We learn to do what he tells us to do. Problem today in church life: there's too much suspicion. What I can say it, yeah. Amongst Christians. Oh, is Andrew preaching sound doctrine? Is he preaching error? You know. Oh, I don't like what he's preaching about this month, so I'll go somewhere else. You know, I don't like that subject. I don't agree with that subject, you know. Not one of us is ever perfect in doctrine.
Amen.
Remember that. Mm. Philip's not perfect in doctrine. Even though he's been to university. Are you? I'm not perfect in doctrine. I've seen my doctrine, and I can honestly admit I have seen my doctrine change over the years. I'm growing up in Christ. As I get closer to Christ and as I spend more time in Christ, I'm discovering new things in Christ. It's not all revealed when I suddenly got saved and baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't all suddenly revealed then. That was just the beginning. That was the start of the adventure. That was the start of the journey.
Amen.
And along the way, you see different sights, you see different things. There are different things to experience along the journey. When you go on holiday, if you go touring, you see different things as you travel. You experience different things as you journey, don't you? And in the same sense, in the realm of the Spirit, you experience different things in God as you journey on in God. Because he's taking us forward. So we need to deal with our suspicions. We need to get rid of that. We need to begin to trust God, trust his word, and begin. And if you think somebody's wrong, then the word encourages you. Pray for them. Pray for them. I remember years ago, I remember standing here and saying it. And I used to pray, God, oh God, change Zena. Oh God, change Zena. And then one day, dear, he said to me, I'm going to chip a piece off you. Oh, I weren't impressed. It did sting. You know, when the hammer and chisel came down, it went, pidding, and I thought, whoa, wait a minute, you know. I'm perfect. See what I mean? But there was just something in the way. He said, I'm going to just chip something away so that it all fits together. Lively stones. You know. It says pray for somebody. Pray for them. Don't pray God. Pray for yourself as well. Oh God, you know. Help me, oh Lord. Is that him? Oh Lord, help me understand it. Help me to take it in. Oh yeah, amen. And we do. We need to pray. God, help us to understand. Oh Lord, help us to take it in. Because it's a mystery. You see, if it wasn't a mystery, everybody would know. Everybody would know all about it. But you see, it's a mystery. And it's meant to be a mystery.
Because it has to be revealed by God.
Because then, well, as it's revealed by God, but you see, it can only be revealed to those who are in Christ.
Yeah.
Because they have the mind of Christ that can understand the mysteries of God. That God can speak to them about the mysteries so that they begin to understand His mysteries. And when you start saying, oh, you know, it's mysterious. Yeah, it is. It is mysterious. We're coming up to Good Friday, coming up to Easter time. Can somebody explain to me how Jesus was whipped, marred and bruised beyond all recognition, was then placed on a cross, died, had a spear thrust in his side, blood and water came from his side. They buried him in a tomb. He was in a tomb for 3 days. And then on the third day, this enormous stone was rolled away, and there's no body in it, which was guarded by soldiers. And then later on, during that day, Jesus speaks to Mary and says, who are you looking for? And she, presuming him to be the gardener, said, if you know where they've laid him. And in just one word, he showed her the mystery. And he said, Mary. And immediately, the mystery was solved to her. She said, Master, Rabboni. And sometimes, you know, you need just one word. One word. And the mystery is resolved. That's what we need sometimes. We just need that to happen for us. You see, it is. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. People have made churches and denominations for themselves. But it's not going to work that way. There's going to be no denominations in heaven.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God. It's about Jesus. As I said, if Christ is not in us, then we can't belong to any church. It's about Christ being in us. And so we need to focus on Jesus. Don't let the devil bring a division between you. Don't let the devil bring a prejudice.
Amen.
Don't start bickering amongst yourselves. Don't start bickering to yourself. It can happen, can't it? You know, you can get uptight and you start chuntering to yourself. It winds you up, and before you know where you are, the wrong spirits come upon you. And when that happens, the church can't move on. Because we have to move together. We have to move together as the whole. And it's so important. And as we look round our nation today, if we look with open eyes and we look with an honesty and ask the question, how many churches are moving forward? Ask it of yourself, how many churches that you know of are moving forward? Why? What's wrong? The word tells me that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. So we must have changed. Have we been distracted by things around us? Have we been deceived by things going on in the world? And we've taken our eyes off the things of God? We need to be moving together. 100%. The devil's commitment is to destroy the church.
Yeah.
Destroy the church, you take out the Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what he intends to do.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can bring a division in a church, he wins the battle.
Yeah.
It's a bloodless coup.
Yeah.
And he wins it.
Mm.
Is that what you and I want? Is that what we want for our nation? Is that what we want for the churches in our nation? So we've got to learn to move together. When we move together, we're stronger together.
Yeah.
Together we will see the kingdom of God coming in our own lives, coming in the lives of others as we move together. You know, David had, what was it, 30 good men.
Yeah.
And he put his life in the hands of those 30 good men. There was one man, he went into battle with a spear in one hand, I think, and a sword in the other. I forgot his name. And he spent all day killing 500 Philistines. Till it got to the point where he could not open his hand to let go of the spear in his hand. He'd become one in such a way that he destroyed the enemy.
Yeah.
And in the same way, we as the church of God need to become one, that we will see the destruction of the enemy in our lives, in the church, and in the nation.
Yeah.
And it's through Jesus being in us, and we being in Christ, and we exalting Jesus to his rightful place. And I'm sad we don't see as many young people these days with a passion for Jesus. I don't know, you know, people today don't have the same passion for Christ that we used to be around. Their passions are taken on to other things. You see them on the football terraces. Their team is God to them. If they lose, they start rioting. There needs to be some passion in the church of God for the things of God, for the Christ in us. And we need to move forward in that area. And you say, well, I'm not a passionate person. You are. You're just afraid to show it. I was shy when I was a teenager. When I first got saved, I'd left school and just got saved, and I went back to a youth club at school. And one of the teachers, Pauline, remember her, English teacher, I think it was Miss Mead, she couldn't believe that I was going to the type of church that I was going to, because they were a noisy, lively church and I was quite shy and reserved, so I was just the opposite of what I was getting involved in. Didn't mix, really. But I got a hold of Jesus.
Amen.
And he started the process, and the Christ began to change me.
Mm.
And I became noisy. And I became excitable. And I became a fanatic for Jesus. And well, so it went on from there. And instead of being shy, afraid and timid, a boldness began to come over me when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we begin to move and we realise that there is a power and an anointing for each and every one of us to move forward, and that there, God is a passionate God. Jesus is passionate, and his nature should be in us, and we should be passionate about the things of God. And when we become passionate about the things of God, I'm telling you this, we will see signs, wonders and miracles. Don't blame God because these things are not happening. Look in the mirror, analyze yourself, lay yourself on the altar. Each and every one of us needs to lay ourselves on the altar so that the new creation that is in us will come out. So that the new birth will come out from us, and that as we lay ourselves on the altar, we will see the signs and wonders. We need to begin to have ourselves opened up to receive a sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. And when we sense the moving of the Holy Spirit, we don't sit there and just wait. We move with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do. We need to learn to sense and move with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I've never done it before. That's good. When was the last time you did something for the first time? You have to move with a sense of the Spirit. You have to move with a passion. If you watch brilliant musicians that are really talented, when they start to play their instrument, they become one with their instrument. Is that not true, Luke? They become part of the instrument. Their body forms the noise. Even when you play guitar, your body is part of the resonance of the instrument.
Yeah.
Is that true? In an acoustics?
See people like diving, looking around.
Yeah. And so you become one. And it becomes passion. Because you become one with it and you're flowing with it. We need to become one with the Spirit of God and flow with the Spirit of God. Every one of us. It's a challenge, that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, when I come to church, I don't feel like it. Well, get yourself sorted out. Get on your knees and get yourself before God and come in the right frame of mind. Deal with yourself. You're grown up.
Yeah.
You're mature. Holy Ghost is your counsellor. Get in front of him. Ask him questions. Deal with it. Don't tell me God won't speak to you, because I know he does. And he will. It's just, the thing is, you don't ask him. And if you do ask him, you don't hang around long enough for the answer. Or if he gives you the answer, you don't take it on board. I have people saying, oh, will you pray for me? I need to get rid of this and that in my life. The only time I'm going to do that is when I see them in church on a regular basis. Then there's a possibility that something's happening in their life and there's a willingness to go forward in God and let the Word of God work. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. I'm just blowing in the wind. Something we learned many years ago when we were ministering to many people. And suddenly kept the people, after a while, started coming back again. Same problems, same issues. It's like, well, hang on, what's wrong? Discovered their relationship was non-existent with God. shortly after that it was like, well, no. We'll spend time in the Word. And then we did that and say, are you going to pray for me now? No. Come back next week. We'll spend some more time in the Word and see what's going to happen. Either sort them out in the sense that they come and get their life sorted out with God, or they just clear off. And your time's your own. But the devil's trying to destroy us. But he can only take you on one at a time. So you're going to stand there and you're going to deal with him. You're going to allow God to deal with you, deal with me. And we can move forward in power. But we need to be moving forward in a passion.
Yeah.
You watch the films that they bring on TV, you know, these battles. When they go into battle, in these olden types of battles, they all went in quite quietly, didn't they? You know? Don't shoot me, you know. Or get out of the way, get out of the way, I'm coming through. I'm going to chop your head off. Is that what they did? It's not like Dad's Army, you know, with the sergeant where he says, get in line, will you please get in line, you know, would you please move out the way, we're coming through. No, more like Jonesy, they don't like it up and do they, don't like this thing up and when you know. You watch Braveheart, that comes to mind. What did they do? They vented their feelings. They went out with a roar. To put the fear into the enemy. The church needs to move with a roar.
It does.
With a passion.
Amen.
We're going to win.
Yeah.
Is what we should be saying.
Yeah.
Not letting the devil split us and destroy us. It's not about when you first meet somebody, you know. You know, it's like you first meet somebody, you say, oh, they're lovely people. And you meet them a bit later on and again, you say, phew, you know, got some weird doctrines, you know. Well, they probably think you've got some weird doctrines as well. The first question is, do they love Jesus? Is Christ in them? Well, that's okay. Because every one of you on your doctrine is going to be checked by God. And he's not even going to be looking at your doctrine, believe it or not. He's going to look at one thing. And one thing only. Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? The rest of it was sorted out. And that's where we need to come to. You see, if we don't agree, oh, I don't want anything to do with Joan, she thinks differently to me. We walk away from her. Is that a church united? No, that's a church divided. Because the Christ does not come together. That we be one in Christ. That's where we have to come to be one in Christ. That's where the new creation is supposed to be at. Jesus did not come to raise up numerous denominations. He came that you would be one in Christ.
Amen.
That we would worship him, that we would make him Lord, and that we would stand in his name and move forward together. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, for a start. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. One mind. One mind. Whose mind is it? The mind of Christ. Jesus said to them, tarry, wait in Jerusalem. The mind of Christ. That was his last instruction to them. Acts chapter 2. And verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, when it was 50 days, 50 days after Resurrection Day. And they were all gathered together in one place, mine says, but it says in the King James translation, in one accord, in one place, in one mind. The mind of Christ. They were gathered together in the mind of Christ. They were not gathered together under a denominational banner. They were not gathered together under a doctrine. They were gathered together in the mind of Christ. And as they gathered together under the mind of Christ in one place, it says, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And so we know that we go on. It says, and that day that Peter stood up. This is the guy who denied Christ three times. Stands up and declares who Jesus is.
Amen.
And 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. They were there in one accord. One purpose, one heart, one desire. To see the kingdom of God come, to see Jesus coming back to take the earth and all that is in it to himself.
Amen.
And it only comes in one accord, one heart, one goal, one purpose. A band, a music group play together. When they're all playing the same music, it sounds good. When they're not, does it sound bad?
Mm-hmm.
Playing the same timing, playing the same chords, playing the same key. It's about that keeping together, moving forward. You see, there is power in agreement.
Yeah.
And when I mean agreement, I mean the right sort of agreement that is based on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not on, well, let's just agree together. No. Let us agree with what the Word of God is saying.
Amen.
That's the power of agreement. I've had people in my life say, well, let's agree together. What they're saying is, we really disagree, but we need to agree because we need to be of one accord. But we are not of one accord because we're not focusing on Jesus, we're focusing on an issue.
Yeah.
If we focus on Christ, everything else will fade away.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else becomes insignificant as we focus on Jesus, because he will deal with each and every one of us as we focus on him. When we move into his presence and we move into the presence of God, if there are issues in our life, we allow God then to work on them.
Yeah.
But if we don't, it creates a bigger problem for ourselves.
Yeah.
Then it starts to manifest in the church. Remember, the spiritual house is Christ. Remember that. The spiritual house is Christ. It's not about this building. This building isn't the Christ. It's the spiritual house that is the Christ. We need to seek to remain on the basis of Christ in us and in one another. This is the glory of God. This is his grace that is being seen in our lives. And we're here because of the grace of God through faith. We're not here through anything that we've done. We're not here through anything that we've achieved. We are here through God's grace and mercy and faith in Jesus Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we need to realise that more and more. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You and I didn't do this. You did not come to Jesus. Get rid of that one. You did not go looking for Jesus. He came looking for you. It's nothing of ourselves. We didn't arrive where we are now because of what we've done. We are here where we are now because of what He's done. If He had not done what He did on the cross, you and I would not be here today. It's all about Jesus. Let's get it right, people. People of God, let's get it right. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not something you went and found. It is something that God gave to you. Personally. He came looking for you. You were not looking for Him. He came seeking you. He says He goes out seeking the lost. The lost do not go seeking Jesus because the lost. They might stumble along the way across Jesus, but they were not looking for Him.
No.
Jesus found me. Because I'll tell you this, I was not looking for Jesus at 16 years old. I just went along for a ride. And I stumbled across Jesus. He found me.
Amen.
And when He found me, I didn't fully understand it, but He knew. He knew more than me. And He found me.
Amen.
And I thank God He found me. You see, verse 9 says, it's not as a result of works that no one should boast.
Mm.
It's not you going to say, well, you won't believe it, but I found Jesus. I was just going down the street and I found Jesus.
Yeah.
And I said to Him, you need to be the Lord of my life. Get lost. Because that's what people are saying. I found Jesus. You did not. Most people go through life and they don't care about Jesus. Unless they have an experience of Him and He finds them and He challenges them and faces them up. He found us. Did He find you? You weren't looking for Him, were you? No. You had enough on your plate. I'm getting there. Honestly, I am. Verse 10 says, for we are the workmanship created in Christ. See, it's in Christ. We're not created outside of Christ.
Yeah.
We are created in the Christ. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That's where we're at. Verse 10 says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you weren't looking for Him. You were far off. He was looking for you. And when He found you, He invited you in to Him. And when you came into Him, He came into you. And it's because of that shed blood that we celebrate in these few days' time coming up to us. That He died on a cross and rose again on that third day. A fantastic time. People say, oh, you know, I think people look at Easter these days, and again in the church, they forget the reality of the pain and anguish that Jesus went through. We become, through TV, through the violent games that children play on computers and that, we become hardened to it. We become immune to it. We've been put in a place where it's like, it's nothing, is it? Yeah, we're being conditioned. That we think it nothing. But yet it was that Christ gave everything. And we need to remember that as we come to this time of Easter. We need to remember the importance that without this cross, without the death and the sacrifice, there's no new creation.
Amen.
You and I don't exist. You and I have got no future. You and I have got no purpose. But because of this death and resurrection, we have a purpose. We have a future. And we exist for eternity. And this is where we're at. This is how the church should be, because the church is then in Christ and we hear His voice and we move together in His corporate anointing.
Yeah.
And it is so important that we begin to rise back and to begin to flow in that corporate anointing, that we begin to seek God and we begin to move forward in that dimension. The nation needs it. You need it.
Yeah.
I need it. So we can see things change. And you say, well, you know, the problems I've got in my life and the difficulties I've got, put God first.
Amen.
And other things will fall into line. God will mould things into line. God will deal with things.
Yeah.
But put Him first. And so often the devil would seek to distract us with so many different things. And I just want to encourage you to focus, refocus, readjust your sights.
Yeah.
It's not the person at work, it's not the person at home, it's not the person down the street that's the problem. It's you. It's me. We need to readjust our focus. And listen to the wind of the Spirit. Listen to the Word of God. We need to come to that place where we let the Lord put the stake into this flesh.
Yeah. Wow.
But He kills this flesh.
Mm.
And the process that happens is that when we begin to exalt Him, when we begin to praise Him, when we begin to magnify Him, we put to death the flesh. And the new creation comes to the front.
Mm.
And it rises. You and I cannot rob God of His glory. God is a jealous God. And He will not allow His glory to be taken from Him. We turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory. And just as the Lord, the Spirit, we're being transfigured. That word transformed in my version can be changed to the word transfigured. As Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says suddenly there was just this shining glory around Him. That transfiguration. Do you know something? That's for the body today.
Yeah.
That's what the body should be beginning to see. That people begin to see us and say, there's something different, totally different about you. There's a transfiguration going on. There is a glory that emanates from you, from the Lord, and the Spirit of God flowing in you and me. God's glory is connected with change. If we don't change, then there'll be no glory. It's a process of change, and as we're being changed, then the glory of God begins to make itself manifest. In John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, "This is my Father, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The fruit of the Spirit, that you bear much fruit. That's when we prove to be disciples of Jesus. When the glory of God is being made manifest in our lives. When the power of God is being seen in our lives. And if you look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Wow. It's not about envying somebody. Oh, look what they've got. It's not about that. It's not about challenging somebody. But it's about encouraging. It's about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And if we would let that fruit of the Spirit begin to be manifest in our lives, that then begins to show us that we are His disciples. There's nothing that can stand against that. We are His disciples. And we can walk in that truth and know the power of God working in our lives and seeing God moving in power through us. And the final scripture is 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 and verse 4. Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you amongst the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. We're going to have some persecutions. We're going to have some afflictions. But guess what? Our plan is, and our purpose of God in our lives is that He will see us endure. And that as we endure, the glory of God will be seen. Yeah. And as we endure, we bring glory to God. And as we endure under a trial, we'll see the kingdom of God being established on the earth and in our lives. And as we endure and we stand firm in the things of God, we will see the house of the Lord being raised up in our nation. We will see the kingdom of God being raised up in our nation. So I want you, and just remember, this is going to be something that is glorious and something that is powerful. Begin to let your mind and your imagination begin to work on this. Begin to get some passion into this. Get rid of your self-pity. Get rid of your self-centeredness. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him, Jesus Christ. If it's about me, it's going to be a waste of time.
Yeah.
If it's about you, it's going to be a waste of time.
Yeah.
If it's about my problems and your problems, it's all a waste of time. But if it's about Jesus, there's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a future, there's a hope. Change your thinking. change your direction, change your motivation, and press through into the things of God. Let God press into you. Let the Christ come in you. And let yourself be absorbed into Christ and see God's power moving. Then we'll be God's new creation. Then Jesus will begin to come into his rightful place in our lives and in the lives of others around us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.